Begin transmission. Hello, everybody. It is Chris and Ben, and my computer is back from the dead. This is Outer Rim Transmission 153. I didn't think I could actually get on here and record Outer Rim Transmission this week because earlier this week, my motherboard decided to say bye-bye. And basically, if you know anything about computers, that is basically starting over again. So all this afternoon, I was scrambling to try to get everything back, saved, updated, Windows 11, everything else. And I just made it by the skin of my teeth. We were just shy 14 minutes of our usual start time. But I'm just happy to be back. And at any point during the stream, let me know if something seems off, that there's audio that's weird, because I didn't have a whole lot of time to check things over, but I think we should be good. But yeah, there we go. How's it going, Ben?
Good. Just excited to get on here and talk Star Wars. Even though it's a slower week, it's nice we still have some news to talk about, which is good to fill in these gaps between shows, and it should be a fun show to plenty of little things to talk about, really.
Oh yeah, so our biggest thing here, we promised you guys last week that we would talk about the other half of Tales of the Empire, so that's what we're here to do primarily tonight. We're talking about the Barriss Offee episodes of Tales of the Empire, but we also have another really big rumor on the gaming front of things to get into, as well as the Acolyte ramp up of the marketing. It's, well, not even ramp up at this point. We are in the midst of just the onslaught, as you would expect, of a new Star Wars IP property about to launch in, well, what is it, about 3 weeks from now, almost a little over 3 weeks. We're going to be getting some new Star Wars. Actually, no, wait, less than three weeks. We have watched it by then.
Yep.
So there you go. So well, my week has been hectic, as you all could imagine from my intro there, but how's your week been, especially with Star Wars? Anything that's worth noting? Anything, Ben?
There really isn't too much with me personally. More just like more interest in like looking around different content on YouTube from other creators and things. I know I saw a really cool thing. You know, of course, everybody who does YouTube knows who Star Wars Theory is on here. And I saw that he's working on a project. He's just going to start animating, like how he used to do his old style of content, where he would, you know, do like the animated different pictures and like voiceover content and stuff. Well, he's gonna start animating one of the Vader comics, I guess, and that's gonna be like his new series he's gonna put on his channel. So I'm excited to see what that turns out to be, because those were always like, you know, fun parts of like his channel back in the day. So like he's kind of going back to his roots on that, which is really cool. So yeah, it's more just like checking out other creators like him and just seeing them come up with fan film, like fan projects like that. So yeah, it's just more like, you know, looking out for cool fan things really this week. It wasn't, you know, like I said, for me, it wasn't really anything personally. It was more just looking into like that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As far as the Vader comics, did he mention like any specific Vader comic? Because we actually have three volumes out at this point.
I don't know. He said in a live stream literally just earlier today, he said that his ambition is to try to animate the entire like Vader comic line. So I don't know how many like stories that is, but apparently that's what he's doing. And you know, it's gonna be, I know he mentioned, like he said, he's gonna, you know, use copyrighted music and just deal with it and let it be copyrighted, and you know, basically let Disney obviously take the money, but then like he said, then it'll be really good quality for the fans, and then the fans are going to be getting kind of like an animated look at these comics and stuff. So it's a cool little, like, I don't know, I guess passion project for him. I mean, hey, it helps Disney out some, and it'll be ideally good for the fans, just because, you know, like I said before, those were always a really fun part of his channel back in the day, like those type of things. Like that's why, like, you know, his channel exploded because of like that sort of content. So it's just cool seeing him go back to his roots on some of those things that really worked, you know, 7-8 years ago. And now, you know, like I said, now he's going to start animating the Vader comics. So I'm excited to see where he's going with that, because like he just made a thing on his channel a few days ago. He made just an animated thing. It was more just a fan creation, I believe. I don't know if it was from the Thrawn book or anything, but it was like the first time Thrawn and Vader met. And I don't know if it was just like a fan thing he made or if it was actually based off the book. But it was just cool seeing, you know, him like kind of get back to the roots of that. So I'm, like I said, I'm excited just to see that little series unfold as he releases it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of highlights from the different Vader lines, right? We have Kieran Gillen did the 2015 run. Then we had Charles Soule do the 2017 run. And currently in 2020, we have Greg Pak doing the in-between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So, you know, if you add up all the comic lines of Vader, we're getting to see him, you know, right after his transformation to bef during right after Battle of Yavin to right before Return of the Jedi. So we're seeing his entire run. So that's pretty cool because there's really big highlights there. Everything from the introduction to of Dr. Aphra to Vader, like basically constructing his castle on Mustafar to bleeding his lightsaber crystal red to basically right now in the comics, he's assaulting Exegol. So he has literally brought a force, a little smaller force in with him to infiltrate Exegol, and he is taking that thing down. It's very interesting, that storyline currently. So
Oh,
yeah, you
nice. That's
know,
good to know. It's good
it's
to look
very
out for
good.
them.
Very good, very good. There you go, plugging away at the tractor beam. Me and Matthew, I unfortunately couldn't be on, obviously, this last week where he talked about Mace Windu number 4, which was, by the way, the thing that came out this week. But yeah, we talk every week about the comics and big, kind of like me and you, Ben and Milton, discussing Star Wars news in general and episodes. We do the deeper dive on the comics over there. So if anybody that's interested, go ahead, give the Star Wars Underworld channel a subscribe. That's where the tractor beam resides, and we go live every Wednesday. I will be back, barring any crazy computer issues, this upcoming Wednesday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So there you go. Getting into the housekeeping. We go live just about this time every week. That is Sunday around 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can join the lovely chat room, such as Dark Nerdy Gonzo and other positive Star Wars community members, to chat away, to just have some fun on a Sunday night. You know, we're getting a week started good. We're getting a week started good, or in some cases, I guess, winding down good, depending on your perspective, I guess, of your work schedule. But yeah, we're also available to download on any podcast streaming app of your choice. Just search Outer Rim Transmission, Spotify, Apple Music. If there's a way to rate us, please go ahead and do that. And super chats are enabled if you want to support the channel here. So getting into it, I already kind of did this. But yeah, Mace Windu number 4 came out. I do not have a review of that as I normally would because hence computer issues. But I'll probably be just folding that review into this upcoming week's comic issue, which I believe is Star Wars issue 47 or 46, something like that. So yeah, look for a double review coming up this Wednesday, or actually would go up Thursday. But anyways, let's just dive in to the meat and potatoes of this episode. We've already given our thoughts on like the overall scope of Tales of the Empire when it comes to both having Magistrate as well as Barriss Offee in there. I don't know why I blanked on her name, but at least I was able to remember Magistrate for some reason. Oh gosh, we are off to a great start here. This is what happens when you just don't use notes and you go right in. Not that I had
Morgan
notes on this.
Elsbeth, Morgan
Morgan,
Elsbeth.
yeah, Morgan Elsbeth. Thank you very much. Morgan Elsbeth. But no, we are talking about Barriss Offee, and this to kind of bring us into these episodes. We're going to be talking about each one of these episodes that were on Disney Plus. They are Devoted, Realization, and The Way Out. We'll talk about them each individually, but first off, I want to get your thoughts overall on her episodes, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think they were the. I think this was the better arc of the two, I would say. Just because, like I said before, the prior one was. Well, I mean, both of these kind of feel more like good Clone Wars arcs, but this one feels like a little bit better of a Clone Wars arc, if I would have to say. So for me, I think it was pretty good. You know, it had some good moments. I liked the direction it went overall. In terms of like her character and the way they did things, but I of course like dinged it, you know, based on the issues with the Vader stuff we discussed before, in our prior breakdown. But like overall, in terms for her character specifically, I think it was a pretty good overall arc for her, just because, you know, it was just like a well-rounded, I would say, like character journey for her, and it made, you know, it made her. Not redeemed, but it, you know, it kind of just, I feel like it was good closure for her character, I would say. Yeah, I would say that would be kind of like my main word for this thing. It was good closure for her character coming out of Clone Wars, and we finally, finding out where she's at, what happened to her, and where she goes from then.
Here's the thing. We've been getting these fan theories ever since the Clone Wars ended, right? Of every time we have a masked, helmeted character, it's always, is that Barriss Offee? Is that Barriss Offee? Right? So this almost kind of felt like Filoni and company saying, okay, we're going to just set the story straight once and for all. So we have
Oh,
no more
100%.
debate on what is happening. So I think that's what these Tales episodes do really well. And actually, over the weekend, I introduced my girlfriend to Tales of the Jedi. And I think what all these tales do so well is the idea of maybe giving a story to a character that wouldn't otherwise have any room in another series to get that story told. So they do a really good job of like, where would Dooku fit, right, in a prequel type of story? Nowhere. But they make a Tales version of him because it fits. So stuff like that. So, okay, Barriss Offee, we get this entire version of her. And it is very satisfying. It is very satisfying seeing just the fruition of the Inquisitorious program. Having read Star Wars Inquisitor by Delilah Dawson last year, favorite book that came out for Star Wars, and seeing so many of those elements playing to the fact. Also, a lot of nods to like Jedi Fallen Order and different things like that, where we already have a good idea of what the Inquisitor program is. But we're getting to see, Fortress Inquisitorious. We're getting to see the folding in of the Jedi into the Inquisitorious program and how that transition works and how people are, their loyalty to Vader and the Empire is tested in brutality, which is a complete adversity from the Jedi, right? So for me, it was really cool. We got this total story from start to finish in like 40, 45 minutes or so that really peeled back the layers of Barriss Offee. We've seen her trajectory in that awesome Wrong Jedi arc for Star Wars: The Clone Wars in season 5, and we get to build on top of that. So I was just very happy that we got this story overall, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Like it was nice getting it, especially after like you mentioned, the whole oh, is this character Barriss? Is this character Barriss? Is that character Barriss? All these things. Like eventually I feel like it's good they closed it the way they did, just because Dave doesn't want it to be every single character. Is it Barriss? Is it Barriss? And then it turns out to be a character, say what's her name? Like Shin or something. Like, what if it turns out to be a character like that, a new character, and then fans are just like, oh, we don't like Shin because she's not Barriss, you know? So, like, I feel like they had to do that just to, like, appease those fans. And then as well, just like even I'm sure, like the Marrakesh stuff from Ahsoka. Like, even though this show would have already been in the can by the time Ahsoka came out. I'm sure when Dave was writing Ahsoka and seeing how it played out, and once they watched it before producing it, I'm sure he probably thought, "Oh man, fans are probably gonna get hyped about this Marrakesh thing. Let's maybe like, yeah, let's double down and wrap up Barriss's arc just so everyone's not thinking it's Barriss, you know?" So, I think it was smart of them to do that, and I'm really, I don't know. I just think it was a good way to close things off because, like, I think we if you introduce her. The problem of introducing her into like the Mandoverse, for example, is you fall into the gray area of like, all right, now instead of like story wise, if you think about a big picture story wise, now instead of Ahsoka and the crew on Peridia being worried about getting home, or like Ezra and the crew trying to get Ahsoka back, now you're going to introduce a whole new storyline of Barriss versus Ahsoka on top of all of this stuff. And then you're gonna have to dedicate a lot more screen time because like with the Barriss thing, fans want Barriss, but then they forget like a lot of people haven't seen the animated stuff, so then they'd have to kind of reintroduce Barriss into live action. Oh, why does Ahsoka not like her? Why does Barriss not like Ahsoka? All these things, and like they'd have to spend probably 3 or 4 episodes on Barriss and Ahsoka drama, and then it's just gonna derail the entire, I would say, plan of Thrawn and the whole Peridia stuff with Baylan and all those people. So it's just like I think if you introduce Barriss, it just introduces too much, like too much to the Mandoverse. Maybe if you would have done it in like Mando season two, maybe. But I think it's just too late in production. So like I think that's why another reason why it'd just be too much to add to the story.
Yeah, it definitely seems like there is a lot going on overall with all that. And it's just, let's just get this done here and move on kind of thing. And I was very surprised by how we got the fate of Barriss. And I mean, I guess some people could say it is sort of like pretty definite, but then again, you could look and be like, why is she talking to her like she's still alive kind of thing? Like, why? Moving the body, I guess, is a very respected thing. Obviously, you just wouldn't want to leave a respected body like that in some random cave. But the way she was talking is almost like she was alive, kind of thing. So it's almost kind of going back to Rebel season two with the whole Ahsoka walking out of Vader, the duel with Vader. I'm like, wait, is she alive? What's going on here? You know what I mean? So I don't know. What did you think about that whole thing?
Yeah, I think I don't know. It falls in the whole thing of like Star Wars leaving the door open for characters to maybe come back, maybe not, and then just leave it open-ended. And like we said, you said you've seen Dave do that with Ahsoka. I mean, directly do that with Ahsoka. And like we've seen it happen plenty of times before with Star Wars, so it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I feel like with the way they did it too, I wish they would have done it. See, I think that's another reason why. That's another reason why you don't bring in Vader at the end. Because if Vader goes in for the killing blow, it's game over. Like she's not gonna survive it. So like I think that's another reason why as well they didn't bring him in to do it. But I don't know. I just think they left it kind of open-ended because as soon as you finish the episode, it wasn't solidified online that she was dead. 50-50 fans were like, oh yeah, she's dead, or oh my gosh, like she was slightly breathing and then it cut or something. So now it's just another can of worms where it's like, I mean, like we said, it kind of, Dave's trying to close the door off on the Barriss thing, but then he also left it wide open, basically. So it's just kind of like, oh man, like I don't know what we're supposed to expect out of this. I mean, heck, even we've seen them do that in Mando. I mean, look with Cad Bane. Cad Bane's like chest thing is still beeping, and whenever that's beeping, like we know that means like he's calling for like Toto or whatever. So it's just like I don't know. If I was a betting man, I would say Barriss is probably alive. I'd say like a 60-40 chance she's alive because. Like that's just how things go. But she won't be alive in terms of any of the short term stuff. Like she won't I won't I don't think we see her in any of the Mando stuff. Maybe we just see her like in a comic or something or a book. Or like an Inquisitor thing. If they do another Inquisitor focused book, maybe we see her like do another Inquisitor type thing, like where they have her captured and like all this stuff or something. I don't know. Like I just feel like we haven't seen the last of her just based on the way it ended.
Yeah,
Because it was kind of open-ended.
I just put a poll. This is the first time I've done this. I always forget this feature. I put a poll up in the YouTube chat. Is Barriss Offee alive or dead? Got some votes already, so there you go. There's some engagement. There's some reason for you guys to join us in live on Sundays. We try to make it a little more interactive and engaging. But yeah, I think it's time as good as any to dive into the each episodes in their own respective right. So we're gonna dive into a Devoted. If you look at the description, former Jedi Barriss Offee is recruited by the Empire. So short and sweet, 17-minute episode. And this one is basically just a great transition piece of what it's like to be a Jedi and then suddenly go through that transition of the Empire. We don't see Order 66 in this case, but we kind of do. I like how we actually get to see the Jedi Temple on fire. I mean, I don't like seeing that, but it's a nice touch where it's like, okay, this is definitely a
Well, you
little
know
bit
the
of a, you
timeline
know.
of where it's at then.
Exactly. Anakin storming the temple and all that good stuff. So What I really liked about this is the whole introduction of Lin, and obviously Barriss knew Lin, and we know Lin from the Obi-Wan series, which is, first of all, I love seeing the connectivity between projects. So this is a great one because she might have had like one line in Obi-Wan Kenobi. I even have a miniature of her from Atomic Mass game Shatterpoint. The funny thing about her, and this is the thing that's been irking me in canon, is I've not known the species that she's a, I don't know what the species she is. She's kind of like a Twi'lek hybrid near human thing, and I even straight up asked some story group people online, and nobody could give me a definite answer. So maybe now they will, since this is such a, you know, very focused show on that specific character. But it was neat to see a different Inquisitor, but also see the Grand Inquisitor, you know, with the original voice actor, right? That was just so good to see Jason Isaac just chewing up the scenery again as the Grand Inquisitor. So, you know, it was nice to kind of see him as well with the Rebels, without the Rebels, with the Clone Wars style animation.
Yep. Oh yeah, it definitely was really nice getting him back in that role again. Like his voice like really fits that character. And then just getting to see, the Inquisitors like doing their thing and like pretty much like recruit I mean really recruiting, like kind of force recruiting her into the program. But she joined it and stuff. And like, I don't know, I really did like the way this episode went, mainly just because of, like you mentioned, the imagery. Like, I like when we get some of these things that are like, oh, hey, this is what's happening when this is going on type thing. Like, like you said, we know the temple's burning, so we know what's going on over there, so we know this is happening like right around Revenge of the Sith type era, like shortly after that. So like, it's cool just getting to see that sort of imagery and stuff. I mean, that's why like I enjoyed the certain point of view books or like, those type of things, just because it's cool just to add a little more context to other parts of the scenes. I mean, look, we've famously seen it in was it in Clone Wars or Tales of the Jedi, like the Ahsoka stuff when with the council, like that whole thing. I think that was during Clone Wars. But like, like different parts, of Revenge of the Sith, like, a scene later, like, is when like Ahsoka is talking to the council or whatever during Revenge of the Sith, like those type of things. Like, I like that type of connectivity. So it's cool just, being able to place this episode in the timeline.
Oh yeah, it's just nice to have the watermarks, I guess, if you will, of oh yeah, this is where we are. This is where we are, because you know, things are getting so busy with Star Wars now. When you think about it, like how much stuff is built out in this specific time, right? The Bad Batch is going on at this very moment. You got this, right? So there's a lot of projects now that are overlapping, which is neat because that is really giving us that much richer tapestry of the entire story. Yeah, so what did you think about the whole thing with the person she knew, that young, I don't know what his name is. I've only watched these episodes once, unfortunately. I do want to watch him again. But that the whole way that the trial is, right? It's like you got these two Padawans that are tested against each other to death. Like, absolutely crazy, right? These guys are just gonna kill each other in this like no bars contest kind of thing.
It felt like something you'd see in like Game of Thrones or whatever, like to like, hey, you if you want to be like the queen's main knight, like Cersei's like main knight or something, you gotta fight to the death, and whoever wins like gets to be her bodyguard or whatever. Like, it felt like something like that, where it was like, almost Game of Thrones-esque, like, hey, not everybody's gonna, no matter what, one of you two are not living coming out of this confrontation. So I thought that was interesting to add those stakes, especially since she seemed like friendly with the kid and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I really thought that was a good like test for her character and stuff, just because it's like, hey, she was a Jedi before and stuff, so like, will she hold back? What's she doing? All this, like, so it was definitely a really like good sequence, I would say they would put in there. And then, you know, I've noticed that's for sure. Like one thing about like Tales in both series, like they definitely are more edgier than like the Bad Batch has been. Like on some of that stuff, I would say, just because like I don't know if it's just because it's more like short form content, so they can like, you know, kind of get away with it versus not. So like I do like that aspect of Tales as well, actually. Like they can like kind of push it a little more to the edge, like, you know, more like the old school Cartoon Network era Clone Wars, like of like pushing to the edge of like, oh, this is getting like pretty violent for being animated. So it's like hats off to them for like being able to push the envelope maybe a little more on this one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'll be honest, the Darth Vader scene didn't do anything for me. I think we talked about this earlier 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Like they did, that was just, you know, Star Wars is really good with fan service. In some cases, it's just like, you know, they put the Vader scene like, oh, this is going to be a big part of the series, and that's the only part he shows up. And there wasn't really a need at all for him to be there. Yeah, it's just showing the hierarchy that, yes, these guys do report to Vader, but there's really no like dialogue or any threat that you feel because of it, so.
Yeah, no, I was thoroughly disappointed by that because, I mean, for the most part, Star Wars, in my opinion, like fans complain about fan service all the time, even though they love it all the time. So, like, the thing is, like, all these different cameos and things we've gotten over the years, and like Mando, Ahsoka, Andor, even, you know, all these different things we've gotten cameos, nobody's really complained about them because most, you know, the cameos hit, like, they hit for the most part. And this was an instance where, in my opinion, the cameo didn't hit. It actually caused me to kind of roll my eyes. Like, they really just used Vader in the marketing as literally just like a marketing object. That was it. And, like, at least if you're going to do that, at least give him a couple lines. And for him just to, like, walk in and just be breathing and standing there staring, like, I don't know. I was really, really hoping Vader was going to speak because, like, I thought it was going to be something like some sort of an Anakin reaction or something cracking through just because, you know, there was such like an ominous like silence. I thought he was going to say something and then he didn't. And it was just like, oh, okay. So I just really, I don't know. It was just disappointing because, you know, at that point you might as well just not even use Vader. Like you might as well just like let the Grand Inquisitor say, you know, your true master is Lord Vader, blah, 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 or something. Not, you know, not even worry about it because I don't know, it's just kind of weird the way they did that. Like that was the first time, like I said, that's the first time I've really ever been disappointed by Star Wars fan service where it was just like, oh, okay. I guess we're just kind of using Vader as an actual straight up marketing toy now, huh? So, I don't know, it just made me shake my head and I was like, "Oh boy." I was thinking to myself, "Well, maybe in the finale we'll get Vader, but we'll get to that."
Yeah, so moving on to the next episode. This one's called Realization. And yeah, this one actually, I didn't realize how short it was. It was only 13 minutes. So I'm guessing this one was probably almost about 10 minutes long when you put in the credits and all. But there was a lot in here that I did like. And the things that stuck out to me were getting to see Barriss Offee with the helmet on was pretty badass. The big thing for me was the differences on how Barriss got information versus how the fourth sister Lynn did. You have Lynn, you know, really digging in with pain and fear for interrogating, whereas Barriss is just taking a different approach, a more Jedi approach, if you will. And we get to really see Barriss Offee struggling and to the point where she ends up leaving. And it was really cool to just see a Jedi and them hunting a Jedi and how she was actually going to let the Jedi get away and then gets killed by Fourth Sister. But overall, this episode was really dark. You talk about, you know, a couple moments ago about how, hey, you know, maybe it's shorter form, they can get away with more. Man, straight up the massacre that the Fourth Sister does, which leaves her to almost be like, you can't redeem somebody. She just killed all these innocent bystanders just because they were in the same area. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
You know what that was? I mean, like I literally texted one of my friends and was like, "Oh, hey, Dave's going back to his roots on this sort of trope because what it goes right back to is Savage and Darth Maul when they're trying to get Obi-Wan to like come to that village or whatever, and like Darth Maul literally just slaughters a whole village of like innocent people, and you know, it just, you know, Dave, like, I don't know, I guess knows how to set the stage for that, for the dramatics of that, and you know, they did it again in this sort of thing, which, you know, hey, it's like, it's dark, like, you know, it's Star Wars, it's not like everything is gonna be like only bad guy versus good guy fighting, like there are gonna be like innocent bystanders nearby. I mean, like that's like, you know, people always forget, like look at like the Avengers movies, like I mean, I'm sure there's like millions of people dying in those movies because like all the chaos and destruction, like you know, that sort of thing. So like, you know, there's bystanders in Star Wars and people like forget that because, you know, you mainly just see like Luke versus Vader, you know, Dooku versus Anakin or whatever. Like you don't see like the day-by-day people. So like the day-by-day people are like, you know, they have to deal with the crap from the Inquisitors. I mean, we kind of seen it in the first episode of Kenobi, you know, or second episode of Kenobi when the Inquisitors go into town and all that stuff. So you know, it's good we continue to like, I feel like that's one consistent character that we've seen in like this kind of like Disney era of Star Wars, is I feel like the Inquisitors have been a real consistent character, whether it be like the books, animated, the video games. I feel like they're, the whole arc of the Inquisitors has been really, you know, really laid out, like in terms of like connectivity, like really well.
Oh yeah, and we actually have, I think, 2 months we're gonna get an Inquisitors miniseries. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Ninth Sister, I think Second Sister, Vader, and Grand Inquisitor. So hey, maybe we'll see a brief glimpse at Bera Sophia in her days of being Inquisitor. And that's the thing too. That's one of the marks I have against this specific episode is, and I kind of and this goes to Dark Nerdy Gonzo's point about, things were pretty quick in these episodes, and that's because they were only given 40, like 40, 45 minutes or something, to deal with this stuff. Well, actually, yeah, almost closer to an hour, I guess. But yeah, you get this. You don't get to see her as an Inquisitor as much as I would like, because when you see her in Clone Wars, she seems pretty set in her ways to be going down a dark path. But then very quickly in this episode, she's already got second thoughts. So I guess I could have liked it. I would have liked to seen like how much
This
time has passed, how
we could
long.
use we could use one more episode of Barriss, like more of a filler, not a filler, but you know what I mean, like a you know, just a more of a character fleshing out of Barriss. Like one more episode, I think, would have done this one better justice.
So, with all that being said, do you have anything else about this episode here?
No, I thought it was a, like I said, it was a good consistent arc of the Inquisitors, I would say.
Yes, so then that leaves us to the final episode, The Way Out. And first things first, like what really struck me in this episode is, again, say it every time, but the animation team, Lucasfilm Animation, just always doing a great job with whatever it is they're doing. Just the flame effects, the snow effects in this case, just the frigid tundra, seeing a different kind of alien there. And I liked that there was a nod to her being a Jedi healer, because there's this book that I've seen a cover of, MedStar 3, and it's called like Jedi Healer, and it's got Barriss, kneeling over a fallen clone trooper. So I love the idea that they're leaning into that, because I don't know if we got a lot of that from Clone Wars, if any. I think that was more of an expanded universe type of thing that was given to Barriss as a moniker, as a healer more. But yeah, we definitely see it firsthand here as a seer. She kind of reminds me of Sabine Wren with that shorter hairstyle. But it was cool seeing her aged up. It was neat seeing just different references, like to, oh, I'll give this to my friend. Or she referenced a friend, and I'm assuming that at some point Ahsoka must have gotten together with her, or she sent some coded messages to her somehow, something like that. But music, I felt the redemption. I felt the redemption, and it got me in this episode. As short as these things were, I guess I was just caught up in the moment of it all, and I was just very impressed with, again, these Tales episodes can be so moving. You look at the Sith Lord episode with Dooku, and just such a big moment for that character. And here we go again with Lucasfilm, just doing these huge swings with redeeming an Inquisitor and then killing off like one of these characters. Like, it's. I was not expecting that. What about you, Ben?
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't expecting it either. And like you said, I feel like it was a really good wrap up to her character. Like if she is dead, it is a really good wrap up to her character because it felt it even though these episodes were we can't really use the word rush. They were like 12 minutes a piece. So like, I mean, they're short. With the episode lengths, they they did good for the time that they had to work with for them, I would say. And like you said, it really gave a good effect. Like what can I say? Like it's you know it hit its punch or whatever, Like it really it redeemed her. So I really liked the fact that they did that in a good way. And like you said, it kind of harkens to like the Jedi healing stuff, which is cool. And yeah, like I really think this episode was a nice way to wrap things up. The animation, like you mentioned, was on point as always. Like they really stepped up the animation. I feel like consistently from Bad Batch and then this show as well. I think the most notable part of animation for sure though is in the sequences where characters are breathing and you see their breath.
Yes.
I think that's the most notable realistic thing that we can take away from Bad Batch and Tales now is like now they're incorporating that aspect because in prior in Clone Wars they didn't incorporate that just because like that technology probably wasn't there or would have been way too pricey to develop. So because we've seen plenty of characters walk around on colder planets and stuff and you don't see their breath. So it's cool getting to see that
Yes.
aspect of the animation. Like I've really been impressed by that. Like this episode and then the episode from Bad Batch where, it's like the Imperial guy ruling the town. Like that one was really good, with that example. So I really like the aspects of like how they're really stepping up the animation. But yeah, I just think this was a nice way to end off her arc. And then, like my only downside to the whole arc was, I just figured. I guess, like I said, I mean, we got kind of like hoaxed with the Vader stuff from the marketing. Like the way it seemed, like it just felt like based on the marketing, the trailers, all these things, it felt like it was kind of like crescendoing toward Vader to end it with Vader and the Inquisitors. And then you get to the end, and I just assumed, it being all like foggy and dreary and all this stuff. Like I just was really guessing in that episode that we would have seen Vader come walking out of like the mist or whatever and all this stuff, like seeing his silhouette and whatnot. And then it wasn't, and it was just like, oh, okay. I guess Vader was actually a straight up actual cameo. Like he's like a literally a straight up cameo. So I don't know. Yeah, it was my first time in Star Wars, like I said, with this little arc. I was just genuinely surprised they used a character like Vader as like an actual just cameo and nothing else. Yeah, like I said, overall, I think it was a good arc for Barriss, and like the only really knock on it is just how they utilize Vader. Other than that, like if you take away all the issues with the Vader stuff with this arc, the arc's very good in my opinion.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, I literally said out like, oh, that's Vader, the black figure walking through.
That's what I
Like,
thought
I was like,
too.
oh, here we go. This is it. He's gonna just destroy her. You know, this is it. He's gonna get payback. He's gonna blame her on his Padawan's fall or leaving the order and his fall to the dark side or so. Like, oh, that can be connected to her. This is gonna be pretty awesome. But hey, I'm a fan of Lynn being an Inquisitor. I have this headcanon where Lynn is going to go meet up with Omega, meet up with Asajj Ventress, meet up with Quinlan Vos, and heck, maybe they will be part of this new path thing that's going on, that's shepherding all these Force sensitives around the galaxy, safe from the harm of the Empire. And man, oh man, I'm just, counting down the weeks after the release of Tales, because it's like, how much longer are we going to go before we know what's next for animation in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to. I just want to know what the next, not even Tales, because we know there's going to be another Tales down the road eventually, I'm sure. I just want to know what the next flagship animated show is going to be. Like, what time period is it going to be? Is it going to be like Omega and the gang, like in during the time of the rebellion? Like, she's wanting to be a rebel pilot. Maybe, hey, maybe that was like the backdoor pilot to a thing of her being working with the rebels. Because like, was Hera a pilot? See, I was gonna message you that the other day. Was Hera was like a pilot, wasn't she? Like, maybe she gets involved with Hera and like the rebels crew, like during the OT. Like, maybe you were gonna get a connection there potentially. Like, that's what I was thinking, maybe along those lines. Because the thing is, I've seen some folks point out, I haven't gone back to like check it myself. I know I've seen some chatter online, like in like the first episode of Ahsoka, like when Sabine's getting introduced, like apparently people are seeing like there's like Omega's like doll and then like number 99 painted on one of like Sabine's things in her room or something. So like maybe we get like a connection with like Sabine and Hera and them during like the OT with Omega potentially. Like maybe we're gonna get something like that. But like I feel like we're trending towards some sort of an Omega focus series during the OT, because like if you think about it, we all of our stuff has been like prequel era for animation for the most part, even Rebels, like you know, if you want to throw that, you know, pre A New Hope. So like maybe we're gonna get something between 4 and 5 or between 5 and 6 with her working as a pilot and doing like random rebel missions, and then that gives Lucasfilm the kind of cameo power of, hey, you can drop in a Luke or a Han or even just even the more ancillary rebel pilots like Wedge, for example, or someone like that. Like maybe, like I think there's a lot of ways they can go with like a potential flagship show with Omega and like a new crew.
There's lots to think about with what comes next. But if we were to put a score on what we just watched, what we just reviewed, what would you give these 3 episodes out of 10, Ben?
Yeah, I would say, like I said, last week's was an 8 because it was, like I said, it was a solid Clone Wars arc, and this one is just like a step above that. So for me, I would say this is an 8.5.
Yeah, I was literally thinking along the same lines. That's why I gave the last week's an 8, this an 8.5. A little bit more room for me to like these ones a little bit more than Morgan Elsbeth episodes we talked about at the end was kind of like a meh episode, like a cool stuff connecting, but not much meat on the bones kind of thing to grip into. Whereas I feel like these Barisoffi ones, they were fundamental. It's always great to get the fate of a character. There's a lot more risk, there's a lot more suspense in these episodes than it were the Morgan Elsbeth episodes, which, you know, we already knew the fate of that character. As with Barriss, we were completely on the seat of our edge of our seats. So it was great to see. It was great to see. But yeah, I'm hoping that the next one, maybe we'll get Tales of the Bounty Hunters. And I don't know, Lucasfilm, you guys might have kind of got yourself in a bit of a bind, because now we're all going to be expecting, or I don't want to say everybody is, but I'm definitely going to be expecting some kind of Tales next May the 4th. You
Yeah.
know, I
I
would
mean
like to
that's what
see a
they
new
need.
release. You know, that's fun.
That should be like the yearly thing, just do a new Tales series. Hey, give me Tales of the Bounty Hunters and let Tartakovsky do a 3 episode arc of Dirge.
There we go. There we
I'd
go.
love that.
We got Dirge in the
In the
period between
comic, that's
Empire
one,
and
right?
Return, but he's not really doing a whole lot. He's just kind of
Yeah.
going around there with Deathstick and a few other bounty hunters like Bossk. But his fate is also still on the unknown. But yeah, there you go. We got Dark Nerdy Gonzo is giving an 8 out of 10. So we're pretty much all on the same kind of spectrum. Like, it was a pretty great Star Wars edition. That I'm sure will be referenced in the future, as most of these things always are that we like to that degree. All right, it's time for some news stories. This one is not official by any means, but there's some credibility behind it. Maybe this comes to us from the fine folks over at Dual Shockers. This article is written by Kyle Knight. A reliable source has told Dual Shockers that one of three new Total War games in development will be a Star Wars themed one. That is awesome. All right, so Star Wars has had a long history, man, when it comes to real-time strategies, or, you know, RTS. And you know, you go back, the biggest one for me was probably Empire at War. I think a lot of
Yep.
people will agree that that one was just so fun, having the planetary battles, but also having the ground battles that would actually get affected by the space battles over in orbit. And it was just a lot of good design. And that game was out like 20 years ago, I want to say. So they were doing some amazing things back then. So if you're not, I think Creative Assembly, don't quote me on this. And I could probably just look it up as you say your bit to just make sure I'm not wrong on this. But I think these guys were also ones that did Halo Wars for the Xbox.
That sounds right, but you might have to fact check us. But I think that sounds correct. Yeah, just to bounce off your point though, I really like this whole idea, especially because like nowadays you have like it just feels like so many games are like it's just first person, first person, first person, first person. It's cool getting like a real-time strategy, a potential real-time strategy Star Wars game. Because there's so much you can do with it, especially nowadays. Of course you have the OT era, you have the sequel era, but more importantly, I'm sure they would capitalize off of the hype of like the love of the prequel era. Like, you could get like a commanding your different factions of like clone troopers, like you could have ARC troopers or commandos or normal troopers or versus like, special droids, like the different like you could have like the droid commandos like those assassin like commando droids like you see in Clone Wars and stuff like you could do so many different things I feel like with the different eras of Star Wars like it's just I don't know it's just like there's there's so many different planets I think this is like a fantastic idea if they would do it and stuff just because of that reason like there's so much like depth you can do when it comes to this stuff and nowadays like you said back then you had like the space battles affecting the ground battles and all these things, but nowadays you can add in even more of the planets versus like I'm sure they had, I don't remember. I mean, I played it back in the day, but I don't remember all the planets and things. But versus just like all the basic Star Wars planets, you can add in more of the like the niche planets. Like maybe they add in a I don't know, like something if you complete a mission, you can do like a battle on Peridia or something, or something like that, or like those type of things, or like if you like unlock something, maybe you unlock a gateway to Peridia and like you have a territory there or something like that. Like I think there's a lot of options you could do with this sort of thing. So it's definitely it was really exciting when I saw that bit of info.
Yeah, so the fact checking was correct. These guys did work on Halo Wars, definitely Halo Wars 2 there. And these guys are really good at bringing good IP to their RTS because they are the ones that are also in charge of all the Warhammer stuff. And I know guys that play Warhammer, the tabletop game, religiously at the local shops around here, and they go home and they play the desktop game as well. So, I
My
mean,
cousin still does. That's his favorite game.
oh wow. See, so this is what I mean. These guys, they know how to work with IP very closely. So it makes perfect sense that they would work with Star Wars. And I gotta imagine if it's Creative Assembly that's doing this game, it's probably because Lucasfilm A knows that they're qualified and B they know these guys can probably port this game pretty good with a controller. Because anytime you're making a Star Wars game, I mean, it's always like multi-plat. Like you're, I don't know if they would put this much resources just to a PC game, but yeah, I mean, this is awesome because like think about it. They could do all three trilogies. I mean, you could have like literally a campaign that goes through all three trilogies, Mandalorian content, Clone Wars content. It's just this basically is the best case scenario for me as somebody that plays Star Wars Legion. As you were naming those units like ARC Troopers, Commandos, I'm thinking like in my head, these are the game, the miniatures I've been playing with will now be on the screen for me to control. And I can zoom in real close, see the action, see the ARC Troopers like using their jetpacks, flying around, shooting. And then you got like the commandos over there behind cover, shooting in, behind enemy line, like getting really close to the ground and getting these cinematic like angles, making these like little like clips of just like the down and dirty like combat on the ground. Like this could be amazing. Like you said, this is what Lucas. This is why I'm happy that Lucasfilm games exist now, because they're not just beholden to EA. Now we're getting to see the best of the best studios doing what they do best, just playing in the world of Star Wars, which is the best bet because Marvel has been doing that. That's why we have the Spider-Man games, and all that good stuff all over the place with Marvel. So Lucasfilm, yes, it's great to see that they are. Maybe, and this is not gospel, right? This is not anything that's been confirmed. Although 3 weeks from recording this, there's going to be a little thing called Summer Games Fest. They're gonna have lots of reveals. It's basically E3, even though E3 isn't really a thing anymore, but you get what I mean. It's the big yearly news cycle for video games. So if this is already kind of creeping out now, I would like to think that maybe this will be officially revealed to some capacity later on, in June, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we get some concept art there. Like that's what I ideally we would get is like just some sort of like, could you imagine like a concept art of like a battleground, Chris? Like a battleground with like different factions and stuff all over it, like just to give us an idea. Like I'd love to see something like that.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. And there's still that game from EA, that partnership with Respawn and Bitreactor. Now, from what I have heard, that game is more or less like more of like an XCOM kind of game. And if you're not familiar with XCOM, instead of commanding armies, you're basically commanding a squad of maybe like five or six individual people. So again, relating that to my Star Wars tabletop gaming fascination, it's like you have the Star Wars Shatterpoint game that I play, which is basically like, oh yeah, you got Anakin here, you got Ahsoka, you got like two clone troopers, and then you got somebody over here. Like it's very skirmish based. It's a skirmish based game. And then you have Legion. So I could see like these both working hand in hand. Like, okay, if you're like an XCOM guy that likes tactical stuff, go play that Respawn game. If you like the big war stuff, go play Creative Assembly's big RTS game. So like you said
You know,
before, it's nice to see that everything doesn't have to be a shooter. Like,
yep.
let's kind of the Lucasfilm has made really great games in the past that aren't just shooters all the time or action adventures, you know.
Well, you know what they have perfectly for this game? Like, say this game does get made. The perfect, best potential, say, unlockable build up to character type situation you could unlock would be Thrawn. Like, just imagine if you
Ooh.
could, like, unlock a Thrawn and it, like, I don't know, it just helps you with the strategies like somehow, or like it boosts your armies more, or maybe you like have Thrawn activated and like basically like maybe if you're starting to lose, maybe like another fleet pops up behind the enemy or something
Oh,
like that
wow.
to like, because Thrawn's like the perfect character for this game.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is like the mastermind of fleet tacticians. Like I could see Tarkin being in there.
Arcan, yep.
I just remember like a vivid memory of me playing Empire at War, and it was filling in the gaps of the stories in between the movies. Because for instance, I think there was a mission where you actually get to control, what is it? The guy Antilles that's in Revenge of the Sith. What's his first name? Like the guy that has a Tantive IV. Captain Antilles, I guess. So I'll just call him
Yeah.
Captain Antilles. I don't know why I was thinking Bail Antilles, but
I thought Bale too, but I don't know why I thought that.
basically you command you're commanding that Tantive IV, and you're going around recruiting for the rebellion like right after Revenge of the Sith. So you have your little vessel and you're traveling the galaxy. It was so cool. Then at one point, if you're playing Empire, you could literally command a Death Star and completely decimate a planet, like one shot the planet without even have to, you know, to engage in any kind of battle. Like that was so fun.
Yeah, like it's that type of game's fun, I think, as well, just because it gives you, to me, like something like that's fun because instead of you getting like the personal story of, say, like Cal Kestis, you get like a more grander view of like interacting, say, with the Star Wars universe, like versus like one focus story, you're dealing with like a lot of things across the galaxy, like planet to planet, multiple people, all this stuff. And that's definitely an exciting thing. I'm really, really interested to see if this comes out and whatnot because, it has really good potential.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So there we go. We will look upon this studio with great interest for sure. All right, we're gonna finish up this week with just a fun story. So as I said off the top, the Acolyte has been really just in the midst of onslaught of every other day. I feel like we're getting a new teaser, which as it should. This is a brand new Star Wars timeline. A lot of the people out there aren't even aware when this takes place, so they're really hitting us home with like, yes, the Sith are in the background, the darkness is there, and all this good stuff. And meanwhile, we have High Republic connections such as Vernestro igniting her purple blade that turns into a light whip. And yes, it's happening. Everybody that's read Test of Courage, the first appearance of Vernestro, is screaming from the rooftops. We are all in this together for light and life, man. For light and life, it's happening. High Republic content coming to live action. It is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that they that's it's a nice payoff for High Republic fans getting to see that, just because I know I remember seeing you and plenty other folks talking about like, oh man, are they gonna do it or not, like on the first trailer. And then also one thing with this trailer coming out, it got me researching because I thought like the whole concept of this sounded familiar, and I was correct, because in for any of our Legends fans, even Milton mentioned referenced the character before. Darth Vader in Legends had a character, had an apprentice named Lumia,
Really?
and she actually had a light whip. Like that was her main weapon of
Oh, wow.
choice, was a light whip. And see, like I thought it sounded familiar. Like when you've talked about it before, I'm like, man, I know, like I know I've heard of it before. And I did some research over this weekend after that trailer came out and did some digging. And yeah, like Lumia was like Vader's apprentice, like in a few comics back in the day, and like the in the old Marvel comics and stuff, as well as some other books. And you know, her primary like weapon was a light whip. So it's cool, like we're getting like from the High Republic, as well as like even just getting like, say, you know, seeing a Legends weapon in live action as well. So it's really nice payoff for all that stuff. And it's gonna be interesting just to see how it looks like. Obviously we've seen it, but like, you know, more than just a split second, like an actual like sequence with it.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to see how that plays out. And like that's kind of like my initial thoughts about this trailer. Like I thought this trailer was actually, I'll be honest with you, I thought this was the best trailer they've released, and it was 30 seconds.
Yeah, it really gets to the point. There's so much emotion coming from Amanda Stenberg's character. I don't even want to call what her name is because there's all these rumors floating about what their name is. The rumors coming
May.
about that, wait, is May's character maybe having a tw maybe she has a twin? What's going on with this?
See.
Because the even the trail even if you look at the poster, it's like her with the mask, her without the mask. And I thought that was just like, oh, it's she's playing between light and dark, but maybe it's literally two different characters.
Well, see, that's what gets me thinking, because like, you know, I've seen other people talk about it, I've done some like research on like the general like bullet pointed like kind of theory on this, running theory on this thing. And basically it stems from Leslie Headland, like her giving interviews talking about how she's taken inspiration from like Frozen and Kill Bill and all these other properties where it's like sisters or twin sisters, like, you know, one being good, one being bad, that sort of thing, like, you know, that whole twin sister vibe. Like, so she's talked about that in past interviews before. And then also I seen another interview from her, I believe it was last week, might have been the week before, but she had said she had mentioned she took inspiration from the Wrong Jedi arc, speaking of Bare Sophie, the inspiration from the Wrong Jedi, which we know what happens in that, like Ahsoka gets framed, and you know, Barriss, like Ahsoka gets framed and nobody believes her and stuff. So like, you know, if you add in that, you add in the twin stuff, it just makes you wonder, like, are like, and then you see in the trailer her saying, no, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, all this stuff, yada yada yada, like that whole thing. Like, all right, if you were like that evil, like I don't think you'd be like running scared like that. You'd probably be like ready to try to fight Master Soul, and like, you know, you'd be ready to be like, okay, it was me, I was caught, let's go, you know, that sort of thing. So I feel like if I had to put a percentage on it, I think this whole twin theory, like I'm saying, like it's a really strong 80%. Like I think, I mean, I'm very confident in it. Like based on, you know, just the puzzle pieces, they're adding up, like 75, 80%. I think it's a very strong possibility.
I also want to shout out something you've wanted to see for a very long time from this little teaser is Kel Naka wielding his green saber, man.
I was really excited about seeing that. Like that was such a nice touch. And like we said, I can't wait to see him in combat, and like how it just, like we said before, how his character is going to be moving around with a lightsaber and stuff, because like Wookiees are like almost 7 foot tall or whatever. So it's going to be really cool just seeing how he interacts with stuff. Like I guess just like even assuming, like, you know, obviously even small characters like Yoda, I mean, obviously are strong in the Force. But, you know, seeing a big hulking Wookiee, you assume he's probably like really strong in the Force or something. Like maybe it more like the brute force stuff, like Force pushing or, you know, those type of things. So like maybe we're gonna really get to see him in action. And one peculiar thing to note real quick too, before we get to your point, one thing one of my friends pointed out to me, I didn't notice it before I started like really like looking at the trailers. Like if you notice, most of these Jedi characters we've seen are in different locations, or it looks like they're in different background settings and stuff for the most part. So the thing is, it makes me wonder if these string of Jedi we're seeing in the trailers are the ones who are going to be slowly getting taken out. Like, you know, you see like Trinity's character get taken out, you see Chewbacca, Count Dooku getting taken out. Like, you know, you see these characters because the backgrounds for the characters are definitely different. So it makes you wonder, you know, my friend pointed that out to me and I was like, oh yeah, I got to bring that up on the podcast because that's a good point.
And first and foremost, this show is billed as a mystery thriller. So for that to happen, that means there's probably going to be some murder going on. You know, they keep saying somebody's been killed in the teasers, in the trailer. Some Jedi has been killed. We're trying to figure out who it is. As simple as that. That's all the viewer needs to know is, okay, this is an interesting time period. But, you know, what I was going to say is like the Wookiee Jedi. I want to see some brutality. I want to see him like maybe like hitting somebody with the back of his giant fist and then slicing him with the saber. Like some cool stuff we haven't seen, like just using physical force, but then saber and force combined just with like his overall size would be a really cool way of going about it, you know?
Oh yeah, I completely agree. Like his character is gonna be a really fun one to watch, especially like, unfortunately, I feel like he's gonna get taken down, but I feel like his character is definitely gonna be one that doesn't go down without a fight, I think. So like, I'm really, really excited to see like how his character like handles himself in action and stuff. And then also, with this trailer, it just I don't know, I just thought it was such a good trailer. It really did. Like you got you to me, you checked off all the boxes. Like you had some action, you had some intrigue, like say the light whip thing, that's an intrigue for new people to be like, oh, what's this? You have a Wookiee Jedi, you have the mystery of like the character saying, oh, it wasn't me, and Lijan Jai being like, yo, I'm gonna bring her in, blah blah blah, like this whole thing. Like to me, I think this has been like the best trailer so far for the series, which it's nice. Like we always say, like John Campy always says, hey, if it raises your excitement and did its job, and for me, it raised my interest a lot more in the series because I've been I would say skeptically optimistic about this series, I would say, yeah, I would say skeptically optimistic. So it's nice just getting to see something that like makes me not as worried about the series, where it'll be like, oh, this looks like it could actually be pretty good. And also a thing to keep in mind, so like, you know, there's that account on Twitter, I can't it's like Cryptic HD something something whatever. It's always accurate on all the run times, and like back a month or two ago it reported, you know, most of the run times for this show are like 32 to 47 minute range. So to me, with the run times kind of in mind, and like after us seeing this trailer, this is where I kind of started to like build the potential idea of this story. And what I'm this is my guess, since we have two part premiere, I think you're gonna have Trinity's character, Trinity, Carrie-Anne Moss's character, investigating the Jedi murders. I think we're gonna jump right into the story, like
Master
boom.
Indara, I think her name is,
Well,
yeah.
oh, Indara, yep, that's who it is, Master Indara. I think you're gonna have us cold open, boom, jump right into the murder mystery versus like build up to it halfway through the series, because like in terms of runtime, it's not like Andor where you have almost an hour. Like it's 30 to 47 minutes range, like, you know, so they gotta jump quick. And to me, the best way to do that is kind of cold open us, like say like a Rogue One-esque, like jump right into the story. And I think that's what's gonna happen. I think it's gonna be like maybe Trinity, God, Master Indara investigating something, or maybe getting like a vergence in the Force and being like, oh, you know, we haven't heard back from this Jedi in a while, blah blah blah. And then that's what's gonna lead into the stuff we've seen in the theaters eventually.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
Yep.
You know, it's coming. It's gonna be here very soon. We're gonna have a whole episode, in 2 weeks that is gonna break down everything we have, really. Like just a good pre we always try to do a preview episode here at Outer Rim Transmission on any of the big tentpole Star Wars series coming out, or movies in that case, or in a case. Yeah, so very good stuff there. I think that is where we'll leave it tonight, Ben. But thanks so much for joining me.
No problem. Just for anybody wondering, so we actually, in terms of timing, we are officially 16 days away from the show coming out. It's coming out June 4th, so literally 2 weeks from this Tuesday coming up, like we're right there.
Yeah, I got
So
to
it's
get
gonna
used
be
to not having to wake up early in the morning to watch this stuff. It's gonna be nice watch getting home with about, a little bit of time to put stuff away, get ready, and be on the couch by 9 o'clock sharp,
Yeah,
Refresh, refresh.
here's me. I'm just like, just keep putting out Star Wars shows like 8, 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights, like prime time. It's so nice just being able to sit down, grab a snack, turn on a new show,
Oh
like
yeah.
because that's all I'm gonna be doing. For example, during game when game when House of the
Yep.
Dragons on every
Sunday,
Sunday night, I'm gonna have food.
Tuesday, and
Yep.
probably Thursday with the boys.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have all three of those shows. So like all those shows, you'll be sitting down and actually be able to get a snack versus like it being 3 a.m. and being like, okay, am I awake or am I not?
Yeah. It's not a
So
great viewing experience when you're like half awake and it's either too late at night or too early in the morning and you're like, oh, I had some great thoughts, but I just lost them all because I'm just that tired,
So I'm definitely really looking forward to this. And yeah, it's gonna be an interesting series, and it's gonna go by quick though with the 2-episode premiere. I mean, it's gonna go by quick. So
Oh yeah, 7 weeks
I'm looking,
total then.
yep. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, overall, I think we had a good discussion tonight on all this Star Wars stuff. And for me, for anyone wanting to talk more Star Wars or fitness or anything in between, lately college football, since that game's available now to pre-order, which is exciting. You can find me on X at Real Ben Maynard or Instagram at Real Ben Maynard. I'm always on there, like I'm usually posting some fitness updates and things. Like currently I just hit down 20 pounds as of like yesterday, which is nice. Still got a good ways to go, but hey, 20 pounds is a nice marker. So yeah, you can follow me along on both of those platforms.
There you go. And you can follow me right here, youtube.com/starraptor. You can also find me on X, I guess. Now they even took Twitter out of the username thing there, the web page. Now it's just x.com at starraptor. And you can find Milton everywhere at Milton Weber 7. And
Yep, or Milton Seven Weber on Instagram.
there you go. There you go. So I'm happy that I was able to record tonight. I was lost without this darn PC. I joke around saying it's my second girlfriend. So it's back. It is back. It is alive. And we'll be back here, same time, same place next week. So for Ben, for Milton, who couldn't be here, for everybody in the chat, such as Dark Nerdy Gonzo, there we go. There we go. That's Outer Rim Transmission, episode 153. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And transmission.